ब्रजकाचार्य स्तोत्रस्त श्री श्रीमदेति भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासदि गौर भक्त वृंद की जय। श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरि गोवर्धन की जय। समवेत भक्त वृंद की जय। श्री श्री गुरु गौरांग की जय। ओम ज्ञानतिमिरन्दस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्रीअद्वैतगदाधर श्रीवासवीगौरभक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। सो वी कवर्ड टिल थर्ड पैराग्राफ। So continuing with fourth one. In third paragraph we saw that Srila Prabhupada claims that he is presenting Bhagavad Gita as it is without any adulteration, and we saw further features of Bhagavad Gita as it is, that it is presented without any personal ambition and it presents will of Krishna and his mission, and absolute position of Krishna is also presented, and there is no Mayavad Bhashya. And those who study Bhagavad Gita as it is will not be misguided in spiritual life. They will go back home, back to Godhead. So next, paragraph number 4. Our only purpose is to present this Bhagavad Gita as it is in order to guide the conditioned student to the same purpose for which Krishna descends to this planet once in a day of Brahma, or every 8.6 million 8.6000 million years. This purpose is stated in Bhagavad Gita and we have to accept it as it is. Otherwise there is no point in trying to understand the Bhagavad Gita and its speaker, Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna first spoke Bhagavad Gita to the sun god some hundreds of millions of years ago. We have to accept this fact and thus understand the historical significance of Bhagavad Gita without misinterpretation on the authority of Krishna. To interpret Bhagavad Gita without any reference to the will of Krishna is the greatest offense. In order to save oneself from this offense, one has to understand the Lord as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as he was directly understood by Arjuna, Lord Krishna's first disciple. Such understanding of Bhagavad Gita is really profitable and authorized for the welfare of human society in fulfilling the mission of life. So, what are the points in this? You have Bhagavad Gita? Purpose is to present Bhagavad Gita as it is in order to guide the conditioned student to the same purpose for which Krishna attended this. Basically it is from continuation from previous paragraph. In previous paragraph we saw first point was Prabhupada's, what is credit of Srila Prabhupada, and second point we saw further features of this Bhagavad Gita as it is. So in further features, third point was second point was to present the will of Krishna or mission of Krishna. You all remember that second point in the features in the previous paragraph. So, yeah, mission and will of Krishna. So this point is continuation of same thing. So we can write down. So again, it is another feature of Bhagavad Gita as it is. So previous presenting the will of Krishna for which Lord Krishna descends once in. So Brahma's day in every kalpa. So this figure is arrived, 8.6 thousand million years. So this figure is arrived. One complete cycle of four yugas is 43,20,000 years. In 2000 is a day of Brahma, 1000 cycles of four yugas. Into 2, 43,20,000 into 1000 into 2 it becomes, so 8,600, so million years. This is one full day, 24 hours of Brahma. So Lord Brahma appears in this is one day, full day of Brahma. So continuation from that previous 2.2, previous paragraph, features of Bhagavad Gita as it is that this presents the will of Krishna or mission of Krishna. So same point is Prabhupada making again here. And what is this purpose? So yesterday also we discussed Krishna descends to establish dharma. He appears to protect devotees and destroy the demons. And like that. In Bhagavad Gita, different places Krishna explains. In 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita also. What is your purpose? He says, why you have appeared like that? When Krishna, Arjuna saw Vishwarupa. So he says, I am time. Kalosmi lokakshayakrat pravriddho. Time I am, the great destroyers of the world. I have come to destroy everyone except you five Pandavas. He says. And in the next verse again he says, you get up and fight, O Savyasachi, and all these people are already killed by me, and you take credit by fighting in this battle like that, Krishna's Arjuna's. So ultimately purpose of Lord Krishna's purpose is to attract the conditioned souls back home, back to Godhead, by preaching this process of bhakti and by performing his pastimes. So we discussed that. And next is, what is the next point? Mataji? We have to accept it as it is. So this point, how to accept Bhagavad Gita or how to understand Bhagavad Gita? So that is stated. Second point you can write down, how to accept or understand Bhagavad Gita as it is. So how to understand Bhagavad Gita or how to accept Bhagavad Gita? First point is, as it is, without any misinterpretation. In how to, 2.1 now, second point, first is, we should accept Bhagavad Gita as it is without any interpretation, misinterpretation, or any personal motivations. So what is the meaning of this accepting Bhagavad Gita as it is without personal interpretation? If Krishna says that he is Supreme Personality of Godhead, we should accept it. We should not say no, how it is possible. Ganesha is Bhagavan, or Durga is Bhagavan, or someone else is Bhagavan, like that. In India they bring so many Bhagavans. Now new list also we have to make, apart from 33 demigods. So another new list has to be made now, Sai Baba and all. So like that, whatever Krishna says, we have to accept it as it is. So this one we'll discuss little more later. Then next point is, we should understand the historical significance of Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita, you can write down, Bhagavad Gita is an historical event. This is second part. It is not mythological story, it is a historical event. You see this point, here Prabhupada is writing, Lord Krishna first spoke Bhagavad Gita to the sun god some hundreds of millions of years ago. We have to accept this fact and thus understand the historical significance of Bhagavad Gita without misinterpretation on the authority of Krishna. So, what is the meaning of this historical significance? Many historians, academic scholars, they say that Bhagavad Gita, Mahabharata never happened. It's just mythology, it is, they say. That means Kurukshetra war didn't happen. Krishna did not speak Bhagavad Gita on the day when Kurukshetra war happened. So, in this way, they call it, all these things are mythology, like that. So, how you will refute this mythology theory? Sometimes they pronounce it as mythology. Prabhupada pronounced it as mythology. Either way, you can pronounce it. How you will refute this? They say Mahabharata is mythology. Puranas are mythology.
Ramayana also.
Yeah, Ramayana. Historical literature especially. Smriti Shastras. They call it as mythology. Then Bhagavad Gita becomes just mythology. So then Krishna and Arjuna are mythological figures. They never existed. Even Vivekananda doubted it. He has written one introduction to Bhagavad Gita. So, he did not write commentary on Bhagavad Gita, but an introductory essay he wrote. So, in that, he says that it is a question whether the personality of Krishna and Arjuna ever existed. Like that. Our modern Indians, they respect Vivekananda, but he is very dangerous. We will discuss more about it. So, how you will refute that it is mythology? You see, in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, this Bhagavad Gita should be understood through parampara. None of the parampara acharyas said that this is mythology. Did ever Prabhupada said it is mythology? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that it is mythology? Lord Chaitanya said it as mythology. Madhvacharya told it as mythology. Ramanujacharya told it as mythology. No. None of the Vedic authorities have said that this is mythology. Why we have to hear from all these fools and rascals? So this mythology word was coined, this is English term, obviously it should come from English world. So it was coined by these Indologists who came from Europe to basically convert Indians to Christianity, evangelical Christians, Indologists. So this was coined by Max Muller, this term. So he dubbed all the Puranas and Itihasas like Mahabharata, Ramayana, mythologies. So because Bhagavad Gita is part of Mahabharata, so then that also becomes mythology. So Kurukshetra war never happened, like that. So our evidence is parampara. Parampara is our strong evidence. Why we have to hear from rascal Max Muller? Why not hear from Prabhupada? Because Krishna says we should hear from Acharya. Acharyopasanam. తద్విద్ధి ప్రణిపాతేన పరిప్రశ్నైన సేవయ ఉపదేక్షాంతి తే జ్ఞానం జ్ఞానినస్తత్వదర్శిన ఏవం పరంపరా ప్రాప్తం ఇమం రాజర్షో విదు అండ్ ఓన్లీ మై డివోటీస్ కెన్ అండర్స్టాండ్ భక్త్యామా వ్యభిజానాతి యావా నిశ్చామి తత్వతః తతో మాం తత్వతో జ్ఞాత్వా విశతే తదనంతరం. సో ఇన్ దిస్ వే వీ హ్యావ్ టు రెఫ్యూట్ దిస్ మైథాలజీ ఐడియా. None of the acharyas have told it is mythology. Why we should say that we should mythology. So what Vyasadeva, Krishna, they wanted to write something mythological, right? So they don't have any cheating propensity, so to write some mythology and misguide people. So we have to understand that this is a historical event. Bhagavad Gita is a historical, Bhagavad Gita Leela is a historical event. Teaching Kurukshetra war is a historical event. And like that. So another evidence for that is geographical evidence. So this Dharma Kshetra, Kurukshetra, you see the first verse. So it speaks about place called Kurukshetra. Now also Kurukshetra is existing, right or not? And what is the surety that this place itself was Kurukshetra 5000 years of Bhagavad Gita or Mahabharata? So in Mahabharata there are many places, the geographical description is given. On the southern side of Saraswati river, in Mahabharata, in one place it is clearly defined how much, like you know, we all know that Vrindavan is 84 kroshas, 84 square miles, that place is called, Vrindavan. Similarly, geographical description of, Kurukshetra is given in Mahabharata. So, and now also Kurukshetra is existing. And they have traced, even modern, geologists and archaeologists, they have traced Saraswati river bend. So in this way, now also Kurukshetra is existing. So that is evidence that these are all historical events. These are all not mythological. So Prabhupada used to call Mahabharata means history of greater India. Mahabharata. So this is historical event, it is not mythological. So this is second point. This is how we have to understand Bhagavad Gita.
This term is usually, people feel that using this term is something modern.
So they don't even, it has become part of psychology, in speech of the people. Indian mythology, Greek mythology, Hindu mythology, like that. So it's because of academic education, people. So this is not mythology.
They don't even understand the literal meaning.
Yeah, meaning also. They just speak it out. They don't remember. Apparently, even those who believe that Bhagavad Gita happened, Bhagavad Gita teaching happened 5000 years back, they also call it as mythology. They just use this term, it has become part of people's speech. So they don't mean what they are speaking or writing. So often many people
write. One thing, where it says that Arjuna was the first disciple of Krishna. So some people say that he was the first disciple. So for him, Krishna was God. So accordingly, They are also.
We'll come to this point. We have not yet arrived at this point, right?
No,
we are now discussing that Bhagavad Gita is a historical event. It is, and maybe questions we can take later. And to interpret Bhagavad Gita without any reference to the will of Krishna is greatest offense. In order to save oneself from this offense, one has to understand the Lord as Supreme Personality of Godhead as he was directly understood by Arjuna. So, how to understand Bhagavad Gita? We should accept that Krishna is Supreme Personality of God. That is next point. After historical event, Bhagavad Gita is an historical event, not mythology. Next point is, Bhagavad Gita, we should accept Krishna as Supreme Personality of God. This is second, in the second point, again third point it is. 2.3, we are discussing, 2.3. So, yeah, and we can also write that we have to understand Bhagavad Gita following in the footsteps of Arjuna. He was the first disciple. As he accepted that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so he accepted Bhagavad Gita. Whatever Krishna says as truth, sarva metad ratham manne yanma vadasi keshava. It is not that some portion of what Krishna speaks is true, some portion is not true. So not like that. So we should understand Bhagavad Gita following in the footsteps of Arjuna, the first disciple. So this is fourth in the second. Now there are other things in this paragraph. So we told why we should accept Bhagavad Gita as it is. One point was that how to understand Bhagavad Gita, in that first point was we should accept Bhagavad Gita as it is without any interpretation. Why that question comes, right? Here Prabhupada, he says, you see, why we have to accept? If we do not accept, there is no question of understanding Bhagavad Gita or its speaker. We will not be able to understand Bhagavad Gita. So this is third point. So till now we discussed two points. One is that continuation from the previous, that features of Bhagavad Gita. This Bhagavad Gita as it is establishing Krishna's will, purpose of Krishna, Krishna's appearance. Second point is how to understand Bhagavad Gita or how to accept Bhagavad Gita. In that we discussed four points. And then the third point now is why we have to accept Bhagavad Gita as it is. Otherwise we will not understand Bhagavad Gita. Why we have to accept Bhagavad Gita? We will not understand Bhagavad Gita or its speaker. So in the introduction again it will come. You go to a doctor, then so doctor gives you some medicine. Why we have to, I have to take medicine? Then you will not get cured. You will not get the result. Simple. So then another point is, fourth one is, so that point is there, you see. To interpret Bhagavad Gita without any reference to the will of Krishna is greatest offense. In order to save oneself from this offense, one has to understand Lord as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So here, why we have to consider the will of Krishna? So why we have to consider the will of Krishna? Otherwise, it is great offense. Now you see, this is there is one word in modern sociology. So that is plagiarism. Plagiarism. Plagiarism means some author is writing something, you steal that. Contents copying. So without reference to that author, you can take from any author, any book, you can quote, like Max Muller said this, but you have to quote his name. So without quoting his name, without reference to him, you write. So now this is what is happening, without considering the will of Krishna. So they are putting their own, they are writing commentary on Bhagavad Gita, translating Bhagavad Gita. So they are putting their own philosophy without considering the will, what Krishna intends to speak. What he wants to convey, what message Krishna wants to convey through this verse or through Bhagavad Gita. that they don't want. Maybe it is like this, perhaps it is like this. Or yesterday we quoted, no, that Radha Krishna, and he says that you don't have to surrender to Krishna. Krishna says, surrender unto me. But Radha Krishna says, you don't have to surrender to Krishna, you have to surrender to person within Krishna. Like that. So this is not considering the will of Krishna. And who can understand the will of Krishna? Bhaktya mam abhijanati yavanashtram. Those who are pure devotees of Krishna, or those who are coming in parampara, in unbroken chain of disciplic succession, begin from Krishna. Bona fide parampara, we can use the term, because everyone may say we have parampara, right? Maya or this. Those who are coming in bona fide parampara. So, now, Krishna in Bhagavad Gita again and again he says, aham, mama, I am this, this is my opinion. So, like that, hundreds of times he has used these words, aham, mama. So that means, what these words indicate? They indicate Krishna, not someone within Krishna or us, you know. So, in this way, it is a blatant plagiarism that you are writing commentary, then you want to kill Krishna, keep aside Krishna. In the previous paragraph it had come, you know, Mayavadis, misinterpreters. They want to keep Krishna aside. Speaker of Bhagavad Gita, and he himself declares that he is Supreme Personality of Godhead. Still these people doesn't want to accept the Krishna's authority. Srila Prabhupada was in, Gwalior? Yeah. There was Gita Sammelan was there. So they are organizing Gita Sammelan, and there is no picture of Krishna and Arjuna there, on the stage. Prabhupada asked them, where is picture of Krishna and Arjuna? You are all arranging Gita Sammelan, speaking on Gita, discussing Gita. But there is no picture of Gita. So they want to kill Krishna, separate Krishna from Bhagavad Gita. So this is greatest offense it is. Greatest blatant plagiarism it is. What a cheating, you see. Right? They want to use Bhagavad Gita to promote their own nonsense. To promote themselves, they want to use Bhagavad Gita becomes instrument for their intellectual sense gratification, for their self-aggrandizement, to promote themselves. Everyone uses Bhagavad Gita. Vivekananda, Gandhi, Radha Krishna, everyone, because Bhagavad Gita is famous. Bhagavad Gita there is no comparison to the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. But still they don't want to accept Krishna's authority. They don't want to become devotees of Krishna. They don't want to worship Krishna. They don't want to accept the main will of Krishna, purpose of Krishna, message of Krishna. So this is greatest offense, right? To the speaker, right? Even in modern law it doesn't. This is, plagiarism is not accepted. You can be sued for plagiarism. All these people should be sued actually. Right? But now law doesn't appreciate Krishna, right? So sometime we have to do this actually. We have to bring this, sue them. And we have
courts also to promise.
Yeah. In the court they promise, but they don't want to accept Krishna as Supreme Personality of God. So this is greatest offense. So there are basically 4 points, no? Right? To summarize. One is features of this Bhagavad Gita, that it is establishes the will or mission of Krishna. No? Prabhupada very nicely puts, no? Our only purpose is to present this Bhagavad Gita as it is in order to guide the conditioned student to the same purpose for which Krishna descends to. And second point we discussed, that how to understand Bhagavad Gita, how to accept Bhagavad Gita. And third point is, why we have to accept Bhagavad Gita as it is, otherwise we will not understand Bhagavad Gita. So, and fourth one is, why we have to consider the will of Krishna while understanding Bhagavad Gita. Okay, so next paragraph number 5, right? You can write down paragraph number 5. The Krishna consciousness movement is essential in human society. for it offers the highest perfection of life. How this is so is explained fully in Bhagavad Gita. Unfortunately, mundane wranglers have taken advantage of Bhagavad Gita to push forward their demonic propensities and mislead people regarding right understanding of the simple principles of life. Everyone should know how God or Krishna is great, and everyone should know the factual position of the living entities. Everyone should know that a living entity is eternally a servant, and that unless one serves Krishna, one has to serve illusion in different varieties of the three modes of material nature, and thus wander perpetually within the cycle of birth and death. Even the so-called liberated Mayavadi speculators has to undergo this process. This knowledge constitutes a great science, and each and every living being has to hear it for his own interest. The Krishna consciousness movement is essential in human society, for it offers the highest perfection of life. Okay, so who will tell what is the first point in this paragraph? Before that. Again, mood and mission statement, right or not? What is the necessity of this Krishna consciousness movement? Like I said, in mood and mission statement, there are varieties of mood and mission statements. Some will define what is this movement. Some will define what is the basis of this movement. Like Bhagavad Gita is the basis of this movement. It is based on Bhagavad Gita as it is, like that Prabhupada previously said. So statements will define what was the response to this movement, right? We saw that. And some will define historical significance of this movement, that it is age-old movement, it is not a new, yesterday we discussed. Krishna is the father of this movement. Not that this was started in, new movement was started in 1965 or 66. So varieties, or sometimes they may be teachings to the members of the movement. So members of the Krishna conscious movement should do this. Some may state the purposes of this movement or mission. So in this way there are different statements. So this one speaks about necessity of this movement. Actually it speaks about importance of this movement. In the importance again there are varieties. Necessity, benefits of this movement, like that. So we can write importance and necessity of Krishna consciousness movement. So because it offers highest perfection of life. So this is first point in that. Why it is essential, why it is necessary, Krishna consciousness movement? Because it offers highest perfectional of life. So what is highest perfectional life? People may have many goals in life. My goal of life, what is your goal of life? In the school these are very nicely programmed, children are programmed nicely. Or even parents also, as soon as children are born, from beginning of their life, he ought to become an engineer, he ought to become a doctor, this is your goal of life. Then when he becomes, he thinks that my life is perfect now. Basically everyone is running behind paper currency. So goal of life is to get lots of money and enjoy sense gratification. And then they think that Ishwaroham Maham Bhogi Siddhoham Balavan Sukhi. Demonic mentality. Sense gratification is goal of life. So in Vedic scriptures also, four goals of life, they are called as purusharthas. They are defined. Dharma, artha, kama and moksha. These are considered as goal of human life. Dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Dharma means you follow according to our nature, guna karma vibhagashah, according to our position in varnashrama, Brahmin dharma, kshatriya dharma, vaishya dharma. So someone may be barber, washerman, wait a minute. So like that, someone may be farmer, cow protector, brahmana, kshatriya. So we follow dharma, then we get artha. How by following dharma we get artha? So modern days, they only want artha and kama. They don't want dharma and moksha. No one knows about moksha. They think that this is the only life we live in, and we have to eat, sleep, meet, do sense gratification, and one day die. So, hedonistic philosophy. Charvaka, there was one muni, he said that. So, ranam karta, gritam pibet, yava jivet, sukam jivet, basmi bhutasya dehasya kutapunaragamana bhavet. Once the body becomes ash, where is the question of again coming back like that? He didn't know about Atma never dies, right or not. Atma changes body, one body to another body. So Charvaka didn't believe in the existence of soul. Therefore, he is called as atheist. So where is the question of again coming back? So people do not know purusharthas. There is moksha. They do not know, they don't want dharma also, right? So they have made this system in the form of their wealth is this paper currency, right or not? You work for the government industries and government will print some notes and give it to you. That is considered as wealth. So therefore, they don't realize that if we want to attain real wealth, we have to follow dharma. So modern day people, they do not know this. So main wealth, like that day we discussed here, I gave a lecture on that paper currency. So danyo dhanavan, gavayo dhanavan, land, cows, grains, so valuable stones, material, you know, metals like gold, they are real wealth. So now modern day people, they do not, but by following dharma we will get all these things, right or not? If you are farmer, vaishya, you do farming, cow protection, then you will get grains, like that. So businessmen also will collect, go and collect diamonds and different things from ocean, and in this way they come and sell that for grains or ghee. So all these things, they follow dharma and in this way attain wealth. Brahmana teaches patana patana yajana yajana, people give him, maintaining donation. Kings would give charity to Brahmana. So kings would give charity in the form of cows, land and valuables, metals, jewels. So in and Kshatriya, he would collect tax, he would give land to Vaishyas to produce lots of grains. And they will give, you know, land for grazing. Cows grazing. Nanda Maharaj, you know, no? He went and gave cow products, milk products as a tax form to Kamsa. Like that. In this way, by taxing, he will get his wealth. So, now also we see that government funds, you know, government budget. So, revenue comes from taxing. So, but this is a very bad way of taxation, bad policies of taxation. So, people will be so much harassed by this taxing. One day they will run away to so forest. Giri Kananam, it is told, Bhagavatam. So, either you go to farm community voluntarily or by force. You have to go, one day or the other. Right? So Krishna will force you through demons or through Maya Shakti. Then that will be very severe experience will be. Voluntarily if you go, we'll go happily. Maybe a little heavy heart, oh, whether it will be, whether I'll be comfortable or not there. So anyway, these poor purusharthas are there. Dharma, artha, kama. And because they follow dharma, in the end they attain moksha also. So modern day people only want the artha and kama. That is their goal of life. If they get these things, they think that we attain the perfection of life. But even higher than these four purushartas is prema pumartho mahan, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says. Prema is considered love of God, is panchama purusharatha, love of Krishna. So bhakti, devotional service to Krishna, is panchama purusharatha. It is even higher than, so higher than, so moksha also. So bhakti surpasses even liberation also. What Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling, na dhanam na janam na sundarim khavitanga jagadisha kamae mama janmani janmanishware bhavatad bhakti rahetu kitvai. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he rejects all these poor purusharthas. I only want devotional service, life after life. So this is highest perfection of life. This is offered in Bhagavad Gita. So our Krishna consciousness movement is offering this highest perfection of life. Therefore, it is very essential in human society. So how it is offering this highest perfection of life? So we create many services, right? ISKCON is creating many services to engaging people in Krishna service, right? Devotional service. Right, today you all did so many service, cooking for prasadam, arranging for this program, more and more. And if you have Varnashrama system also, what happens is we can engage our occupation also directly. Now, you may give some donation to the institution. Not so much. little. Because this whole currency system makes people very insecure. They cannot open. And if you have grains, how much you will procure them? They will get spoiled, so you will give charity more. Right? Gold you may procure more, then also there is little insecurity, you know, preserving gold. Better we give it to Lord. Like that. So, anyway, so we can directly engage. Like if some teacher is there, now what he is doing teaching? He is teaching atheism. And he may be a devotee, but he has to teach atheism, right? And bogus theories, bogus ideas. Like yesterday we were discussing all this, Aryan in bogus history is taught in the schools. So everything is interpreted. Bhagavad Gita is, because Aryans came 3500 years back, so and started this Vedic culture, so Bhagavad Gita is maybe 3200 years old. 3000 year old or like that, they give different dates here, you know, academic scholars for Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita and all the Vedic scriptures. So they don't know that it is historical, very old it is, ancient it is. So we can calculate that presently Bhagavad Gita is 5000 years by astrological evidence. Because the day when Mahabharata war started, he has mentioned in Mahabharata what was the Thiti, Nakshatra and all those things. Astrologically, we can calculate when Bhagavad Gita was spoken, which date, which day, which time, all that is, you know, things. So, next time maybe I'll tell you, I did not find that out. So, I am writing one book on history, so that time I'll put that. So, coming to the point that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he refutes all these purusharthas. Devotional service is highest perfection of life. ISKCON is providing lot of opportunities for service. We have to push people to surrender to Krishna. More. Engage in Krishna service. Now what happens is our bhakti now mostly what it is? It is service to boss it is. Mostly we have to serve the boss, right? And whatever, yes boss we have to say. There is a cinema, right? Yes, boss. So, this is not pure bhakti also. It is a mishra bhakti it is. Vikarma mishra bhakti. Anyway, we will discuss that some other time. So, this is why Krishna consciousness movement is essential. It creates many service opportunities, which is highest. Engaging in Krishna service is highest perfection of life. So next what Prabhupada teaches. How this is so explained fully in Bhagavad Gita. Unfortunately, mundane wranglers have taken advantage of Bhagavad Gita to push forward their demonic propensities and mislead people regarding right understanding of Bhagavad Gita. So Bhagavad Gita teaches us to engage in devotional service, but others, what they have done, they are misled. So like yesterday we discussed Radha Krishna. He said, you don't surrender to Krishna, don't engage in devotional service to Krishna, like that. So just do mental speculation, mundane scholarship and mental speculation. So even Vivekananda, he said that it is better to play football than studying Bhagavad Gita, he says. Like that he says. Overall, you see, in India, many people want Hindutva, right or not? There are many organizations who want to promote Hindutva. But simultaneously, they also want modernization. They don't understand Vedic culture and modern industrial progress, they don't go together. They will go ill together. So Vivekananda stressed this. Why this idea came into modern Hindus? They want to be modern also and they want to be Hindus also. In many of the social reform movements, you know, which took place, like Arya Samaj and Brahma Samaj, they wanted to upgrade themselves, they wanted Hindus to upgrade themselves to Westerners, Western industrial society, and simultaneously they wanted them to remain Hindus. So, one example I'll give. Muslims and Christians, they didn't want, they do not do this Murti Puja, Vigra, Archa Vigra Seva, deity worship. So this is Western idea, because in Vedic scripture there is so much description about. So this Arya Samaj, Brahma Samaj and all these people, they removed this deity worship. They were against deity worship. So even Ramakrishna Mission, more or less, although they will keep Vivekananda and other. So Ramakrishna and all. They also don't against deity worship. So Chinmayanand Swami. So in this way, they took this idea from Muslims and Christians. They wanted Hindus also to become, this whole idea that Westerners are superior, so we have to come to that their level. This idea itself is completely bogus idea. This idea was basically came through this Aryan invasion idea. So Westerners are Aryans, they came and started Vedic culture here. So now you all have become degraded and you are doing this Murti Puja. Now again we have come to preach better ideas, like that they wanted to bring. So simultaneously they wanted them to be Hindus also. Therefore they started all this Arya Samaj, Brahma Samaj and all these bogus ideas. Then even Vivekananda, when he went to West, he was so bewildered by Western technology, industrialization. So he also wanted everyone to become upgraded. Playing football is an American game, it is. Right or not? So, right? At least play kabaddi, your health, you know, health will become improved. Build your biceps, eat meat. That is his message. My dear friends, my dear brothers, like that. And this. So in this way, such kind of message is attractive to modern Indians, right or not? Because they are all bewildered by this whole technological advancement, industrialization. So this is just illusion that technology and industrialization will bring comfort. It's just illusion, it is. Are you comfortable with all this modern technology, with so many apps and mobiles and smartphones? Are you comfortable in the city? No, you are not comfortable. Right on. So he wanted, this is what they call it as progress, development. So even Vivekananda was influenced by this idea. When Prabhupada went, he kicked this modern technology. When he went to America, he said, this is nonsense, he said. When they installed phone in his room, next day only he told, just throw it out, he said. Because someone called him in the middle of the night, Swamiji, have you taken dinner, like that? Right? in 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the night. So he said this technology is Ugra Karma, Prabhupada says. So he is Tattvadarshi Guru, Prabhupada is. He knows what is what. He knows as it is, things as they are. So in this way, so why modern Indians became like this? And many these Hindu organizations, you know, why they are like that? They want Hindutva, but simultaneously progress, development. Our present Prime Minister is also, in fact, he is more against Hindutva, I think. He is more for modernization. He wants to make digital India, put Wi-Fi in all the villages, so that whatever little farming and cow production is going on, that also should stop. Everyone should be busy with all these apps, different apps. Make zombies, So we are not even real human beings if we are just busy with all these things. They just want to, some people, some demons in the world, they want to make some zombies in the world. They should be taken away from actual material reality. Spiritual reality is far away. Even actual material reality, they are taken far away. So this is all misguiding it is. Gandhi misguided, right or not? He said non-violence is the message of Bhagavad Gita. Non-violence is not message of Bhagavad Gita. Was spoken to convince Arjuna to be violent. But for proper purpose, not violence. For dharma, for protecting the weak. So a civilization, human civilization should protect. Kshatriya means kshatriyo hi praja rakshan shastrapani pradandaya nirjitya parasainyadi kshitim dharmena palayat. This is definition of kshatriya. So Parasharamuni in Parashara Smriti, he defines kshatriya like this. He should do praja raksha. For that, if it is required to use weapons, he should use. And among all the praja, praja means animals also, not only human beings. Not that chicken should be sent to slaughterhouse or cows should be sent to slaughterhouse. And we will protect human beings. And among all animals. So all the praja who have taken birth in the praja, prajayate means those who have taken birth in the land. So among all those who have taken birth in the land, so five are most important. Five need special protection. Cows, brahmanas, women, children, and elderly people. And again among five, cow is the most important. Even more than brahmanas, cows should be protected. Because if cows are protected, brahmanas would be protected. And brahmanas protected, whole world would be protected. Recently I gave a lecture on Kshatriya mission. So these are some of the points from that. So Kshatriya Dharma in 21st century. Because now the lives of the cows are at stake. So among all the living beings, their lives. And when cows are not protected, everyone will be destroyed. Everyone will be abused. Everyone will be exploited. So this is very important thing to do. How to do cow protection also needs to be understood properly. Modern goshalas are not actually, cows are not happy there in modern goshalas, but at least something is going on. So we should have a lot of grazing land for the cows. We have to invest all our wealth in that, whatever savings we have. That is how cow protection would be taken place. Coming back to, so this is all misguiding, Gandhi misguided. So, one reason why Vedic culture was destroyed. Buddhism when Ashoka got converted to Buddhism, so then he became non-violent. Main message of Buddhism is non-violence. Then after that, there was no real king actually, Kshatriya. Some here and there, now and then small kings happened. Vijayanagara Empire was considered in last 2000 years. That was considered a very powerful kingdom. So they to some extent stopped the mlechhas coming to southern India. To some extent. So we see that there were no real kshatriyas, no real kings. Mlechas came and killed everyone, looted all, everything, wealth, all, temples, destroyed all the temples, Mlechas and Yavanas. So if politics, in politics, if we are non-violent, everything will be finished. Weak will be not protected. Culture will not be protected. Dharma will not be protected. So kshatriya means he should be violent. If necessary violence for protecting dharma, protecting weak. So that is the point. So these are all many, there are like that many commentaries are there who are all just misguiding. And like we saw, you know, just one or two paragraphs before, Prabhupada says this Bhagavad Gita as it is the only Bhagavad Gita which gives the real message of Bhagavad Gita, you know, Prabhupada says. Okay, this is second point. That many so-called philosophers, commentators have misled. They don't give the same message of Bhagavad Gita as it is. So even our movement, we should be, if you neglect Varnashrama, then what happens? We are also not Bhagavad Gita as it is. We are. Bhakti is there, but then it is becomes, you know, some pseudo bhakti, you know, I don't know, on the platform of adharma actually. So pseudo bhakti on the platform, sahajiya, you know, completely. It leads to a lot of deviation. Because whenever we are studying Shastra, we should understand the social context in which that Shastra is presented. Social context, right or not? So Bhagavad Gita was spoken in, all the Vedic scriptures were spoken in the context of Varnashrama, social context. So this is very important point while studying, understanding Bhagavad Gita. We will miss a lot of it. Almost 50% of Bhagavad Gita we will miss if you don't consider Varnashrama Dharma. Almost 50%. We are deleting it.
Prabhupada said this movement is meant for complete miss.
Krishna consciousness movement gives complete message of Bhagavad Gita as it is in one place. So we have to give complete message, not selected, selective. General tendency is because we are attached to sense gratification, we select what we want from that. We are attached to sense gratification. We select.
And especially preachers should not
do that. So coming to the point, unfortunately, mundane wranglers, this is very strong, mundane wranglers have taken advantage of Bhagavad Gita to push forward their own demonic propensities and mislead people regarding the understanding simple principles of life. Now, next portion of this paragraph tells about principles of Bhagavad Gita, teachings of Bhagavad Gita. Simple teachings of Bhagavad Gita, essential teachings of Bhagavad Gita. This is third point in this. So, and in this third point, again, many points would be there. So we see, everyone should know how God or Krishna is great. And everyone should know the factual position of the living entities. Everyone should know that a living entity is eternally servant. And unless one serves Krishna, one has to serve illusion in different varieties of three modes of material nature and thus wander perpetually within the cycle of birth and death. Even the so-called liberated Mayavadi speculator has to undergo this process. This knowledge constitutes a great science and each and every living being has to hear it for his own interest.
Now, you see, Chaitanya
Mahaprabhu, he said,
Vedas, they speak about three topics. Sambandha, Abhideya and Prayojana. Sambandha means our relationship with the Lord. What is the position of the Lord? Who is He?
How He is great? And
how we are minute
and insignificant, and we have eternal relation with Krishna. That is called as Sambandha Jnana. And second one is Abhideya. So because we are eternal servants of Krishna, we have forgotten our relationship with Krishna. To revive that, we have to do devotional service. That is
Abhideya. Bhakti is called as Abhideya.
And third point is Prayojana. What is the result of that bhakti? We attain love of God and highest perfection of life.
So we will attain swartha gati,
that last word, our for his own interest, last word in this, you know, in this paragraph,
swartha gati,
our self interest, you know, our ultimate, that is Lord Vishnu. Nate vidu swartha gati me Vishnu,
lotus
feet of Lord Krishna, that is our love of Krishna, love of Vishnu. So here
Prabhupada,
what are the teachings of Bhagavad Gita? That is Sambandha Abhideya, just like any other Vedic scriptures. The teachings of Bhagavad Gita is also Sambandha Abhideya and Prayojan. So you see here, you know, in this small part of the paragraph, what Prabhupada is, everyone should know how God or Krishna is great. Everyone should know the factual position of the living entities. Everyone should know that living entity is eternally a servant. This is called Sambandha Jnana. We are servants of Krishna. Our relation with Krishna is that we are servants of God. God is great. Krishna is great. And especially in Bhagavad Gita, greatness of Krishna is described in varieties of ways. In many varieties. So by explaining his opulences, his energies, so how he maintains this creation, universe, just through his expansion. So this way, greatness, this God is great, is coming from western world. But most of them, they don't know how God is great. Especially when they study Bhagavad Gita, they will understand how Krishna is great. So,
I am the splendor of the sun, moon, and fire.
Yada ditya gatam tejo jagat basay akilam
yachandramso
yachagno tat tejo viddhi mamakam. Understand that heat and light of the sun, moon, and fire is coming from me. Gama vishyacha bhutani dharaya mahamojasa pushnani chaushadi sarve somo bhutvara satmakaha. I enter into all these planets and universes as Garbhodakshayi enters, and in every atom he enters and maintains these universes by his Ojas Shakti. Otherwise, you see, all these planets are rotating. If Krishna doesn't keep them in their orbit, what will happen? We will not sit here to discuss Bhagavad Gita. We would have not been there. We would have been finished. They would have collided, exploded. Big Bang would have happened. Big Bang never happened. But if Krishna would have not kept these things in their place, so Big Bang would have happened. Scientist would have got some material to discuss. So, in this way, Krishna is great. Yes.
Then
in the next verse also he says, so I appear as Jataragni, and then I digest all kinds of, four kinds of, so eatables, he says. So Krishna says, without Krishna's help, we cannot even digest food which we are eating. We are so helpless, actually. So insignificant we are. But God is so great and merciful. We rascals, we even reject God. Then also he helps us. Then also he is merciful on us. This God is great. Therefore God is great. Krishna is great. How Krishna is great. So these are just sample of verses which I am quoting. So throughout Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada says by studying Bhagavad Gita, we will understand the position of Krishna, supreme position of Krishna. It helps us to establish, you know, very strongly in our heart how Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. Then when you read his leelas in Bhagavatam, then it makes sense. Otherwise, what is this? Lifting over the hill and all. So if he is maintaining great, gigantic universes, planets and all these things, lifting one Govardhan hill is what for him. So therefore, philosophically we should understand Krishna's position. So these are some sample verses. So, and we are Mamayvamsho, we are very insignificant, we are part and parcel of Krishna. Amsha is meant for serving the whole body. Amsha and Anga, these terms are equivalents in Sanskrit. Anga means part of the body, right? A part. So part and parcel. That's why Prabhupada, he translates it as part and parcels. Anga and Amsha. This is Anga. Hand is Anga of my body, right? It is meant to serve the whole body. Similarly, living entity is meant to serve Krishna. This is eternal relationship of... So...
This Sambandha Jnana is very important. First time when I read Krishna book, every second chapter you will come to know, you will see that some devotees are offering prayers to Lord Krishna. Like second chapter of Krishna book, Garbhastuti, you know, when Lord Krishna was in the womb of Devaki, demigods came and offered prayers. Again and again they are glorifying Krishna. So when we are in the material world, in material consciousness, we feel, oh, why this person is so much glorified? Or why we have to engage in his service? So generally in material world, we all want to become God. We are competing with God. Ishvaro yam aham bhogi siddho aham balavan suki. We want to become. So our boss or no boss, we want to become boss. In corporate circle, what they are doing? They are pulling each other's leg and going ahead of others. They want to become, take a higher and higher positions. So that is called as climbing corporate ladder. So when we come to spiritual institution, we should not become like that. Okay, today Bhakti Vraksha leader, then congregation leader, then vice president, for example, president. climbing ladder. So we should not become vasanavas. We have to become dasanavas. More service attitude should be developed. We may become temple president, GBC, whatever it is, for service. For serving Krishna. We should remember that we are servants. So when we came first to Krishna consciousness, we are very enthusiastic, right? For doing service. We are humble servant. We behave like very humble servant. So we should not forget why we came to Krishna consciousness after some time. So general tendency in institutions is to become complacent. Nature of the institutions are like that, in Kali Yuga especially. So this is Sambandha Jnana. And Prabhupada says, and that unless one serves Krishna, one has to serve illusion in different varieties of the three modes of material nature, and thus wander perpetually within the cycle of birth and death. Even the so-called liberated Mayavadi speculator has to undergo this process. Here bhakti is the only process Prabhupada establishes, not jnana also. Mayavadis may engage in Brahma, speculating what is Brahma, jnana, neti. Those who are engaged in bhakti yoga are less intelligent. We are jnanis, we are very intelligent, we engage in jnana like that. They may be engaged. But they will, without bhakti, they will not become free from cycle of birth and death. Bhakti is the only process to attain perfection of life, attain liberation from bondage of material existence. That is discussed in Bhagavad Gita. Yesterday we discussed little bit about that, why Prabhupada represents everywhere, you know, bhakti, Krishna bhakti. So Krishna analyzed all these other yoga systems just to understand the relative importance of bhakti. We have to compare bhakti with something else, to understand its significance and importance. Therefore, he described other yoga system. Otherwise, he didn't want. Like end of every chapter, literally, bhakti yoga. So after six chapters, he says, yoginam api sarvesham madgate nantaratmana shaddhavan bhajate yomam same bhakta thumamataha. Among all yogis, my devotees are topmost, he says. He endorses bhakti yoga. And in the middle chapters, at least, Raja Vidya, Raja Guhyam, Pavitram Idam Uttamam, like that. He glorifies bhakti like anything. In the end also, he says, Sarva Dharma, Manmana Bhavaman. This is Guhyatamam, he says in the end, most confidential. So, I have given one lecture, how every chapter talks about bhakti. So in that sense, Prabhupada, when he writes Krishna Bhakti, he is not wrong actually. So just to comparative analysis.
And even this Jnana Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga, Karma Yoga is also Bhakti Yoga. But only they are Mishra Bhakti. There is prominence of Karma, Jnana and Yoga. They are Bhakti only because Yoga means to link with Krishna. Yoga means to link, yuj, it comes from the root word yuj, you know, yuj means to link or connect. So all Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga and Ashtanga Yoga are also Bhakti Yoga, but only prominence, they are Mishra Bhaktis. Karma Mishra Bhakti, Jnana Mishra Bhakti and Yoga Mishra Bhakti. They are Mishra Bhakti, they are not pure Bhakti. So, but Krishna endorses to come to pure Bhakti, not this, lower stages of Bhakti. So here the emphasis is given, Bhakti, and later this knowledge constitutes a great sign and each and every living being has to hear it for his own interest. So self-interest means love of Krishna, we are all seeking love of God. So in this material world, in cinemas there is so much, in Indian cinemas, Bollywood cinemas and so much this glorification of love, 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 pyar, pyar, like that, this. Pyar ho gaya. They make it very romantic, divine, divine, not just romantic. Something divine, revelation, suddenly it happens to them, something happens to them. It is only lust it is, but they make it very divine and very, what they call? In English there is a eupemism, there is one word eupemism. Eupemism means sab kuch bada chada ke bolna, right or not? Make it very sophisticated words, use sophisticated words. So much, all these Indian cinema songs, day after day, so much, those fellows, I don't know how much time they have to write so many songs, just glorifying this. Mostly woman's body, you know, right or not? This body, male and female bodies, you know, right or not? What is there in this male and female bodies? So, day out, day in, day and out, what they call, day and day out. Day and day out, every day, literally they are writing so much about this, you know, body which is filled with so many unwanted substances, obnoxious substances, right or not? So they write all this. So but this, you see, you know, when you see the reflection of water, there should be water, no? There cannot be reflection without real substance, right? So if there is some love in this world, that means there is real love. That is in relation with Krishna. So that is our actual self-interest. We are seeking after that. But most of the people in this world, they do not know. Nate vidu swartha gatim hi Vishnu durasaya ye bahirartha manina. Because they consider bahi, this external bodily cause, is most important. They are, you know, durasaya, they are after this all false hope of becoming happy in this world. So therefore, they are not able to realize that their real goal of life is Vishnu. They are all seeking after the lotus feet of Krishna. That they do not know. So, the last point also tells, last statement also tells another point. Necessity of Gita in our life. Necessity of Gita in our life. So if we want to attain real perfection of life, if we want to attain the real love which we are seeking, real happiness which we are seeking in life, we have to take to teachings of Bhagavad Gita. This is fourth point. So, okay, next paragraph. What is the time? 10:15. So we'll have some more time. So paragraph number 6 now, and this is last paragraph in preface to Bhagavad Gita. Okay, I will read. People in general, especially in this age of Kali, are enamored by the external energy of Krishna. and they wrongly think that advancement of material comforts, every man will be happy. They have no knowledge that material or external nature is very strong, for everyone is strongly bound by the stringent laws of material nature. A living entity is happily the part and parcel of God, and thus his natural function is to render immediate service to the Lord. By the spell of illusion, one tries to be happy by serving his personal sense gratification in different forms, which will never make him happy. Instead of satisfying his own personal material senses, he has to satisfy the senses of the Lord. That is the highest perfection of life. The Lord wants this and he demands it. One has to understand the central point of Bhagavad Gita. Our Krishna consciousness movement is teaching the whole world this central point. And because we are not polluting the theme of Bhagavad Gita as it is, anyone seriously interested in deriving benefit by studying Bhagavad Gita must take help from the Krishna consciousness movement for practical understanding of Bhagavad Gita under the direct guidance of the Lord. We hope, therefore, that people will derive the greatest benefit by studying Bhagavad Gita as it is, as we have presented it here. And if even one man becomes a pure devotee of the Lord, we shall consider our attempt a success. So, sign is there in your Bhagavad Gita edition? A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, 12th May 1971, Sydney, Australia. So what is there in this paragraph? Who will tell? Anyone would like to tell? Raise hands.
What is the highest perfection in life?
So in the previous paragraph we saw that. Prabhupada tells the essential principles of life or teachings of Bhagavad Gita. We discussed in terms of Sambandha, Avideya and Prayojana. Same thing Prabhupada continues here. So again reiterating that. So in different way. So you can write first point, teachings of Bhagavad Gita. So essential principles of life. Now in modern corporate world, they have so many seminars, courses, conferences on values of life, principles of life and all these kind of things, So, they should understand these principles of life, right or not. First thing is that we should not become enamored by the external energy and think that, by material progress or comforts, we will become happy. Exactly opposite of what they are thinking. So people in general, especially in this age of Kali, are enamored by the external energy of Krishna. And they wrongly think that by advancement of material comforts, every man will be happy. So if you want to become happy in this world, give up desire for becoming happy in this world. Of course, relatively we can be happy in Varnashrama. Ultimately this place is Dukalayam Ashashvatam. But this idea that technology will make us happy and comfortable, this is completely bogus idea. Actually this idea has a great long background actually. So last 200 years, this idea is indoctrinated in the people's. So history is presented as linear progressive history or civilization based on the idea that time is a linear progressive factor. You understand this? Time is linear progressive factor. It starts from one point and moves in a straight line. So modern idea of time, concept of time, how they understand time is, it's a linear progressive factor. They say that it started just few seconds after Big Bang. That is another completely bogus idea. Completely bogus idea. Just speak something nonsense, complete nonsense it is. What is the evidence for that? It started, did anyone came and tell us that it started after Big Bang?
Generally, you can say that
creation took place after Big Bang, then time started after a few seconds. But how can you say after, before, because there was no time at that time. So there is a logical fallacy. There was no time only, where you say after, before, right?
After and before, these are connected to time, no? Anyway, this linear progressive factor, based on this,
history is defined as linear progressive history or civilization. Human beings are, human civilization is making progress gradually.
So human in history, if you see,
like this modern, Darwin also got this idea. Previously there were some, you know, junglies, jungle wasis were there, aborigines were there. Before that even just human beings were not there, only monkeys were there. So gradually, you know that, no? In the history they teach that. Stone Age man was there. Before, hunter-gatherers were there. They were hunting and gathering, you know, food. So they were hunting animals and gathering some grains.
Which was grain wildly in the jungles. So they would eat the,
cut and eat those animals. They had those stone weapons,
flints,
the triangular stone weapons, they are
called as flints. So they used to use them. Gradually they learnt how to ignite fire. So then they started
boiling their meat and eating,
frying their meat and,
meat and eating.
So then, so they started growing food, grains.
Agriculture was invented. Then they started living in societies, communities, right? In this way villages, cities came into existence. Now we are most developed human civilization, 21st, information and technology, world of information and technology. This is completely bogus idea, Our in Vedic concept of time is cyclical, it is, Kala Chakra we say, And Kala Chakra, especially Kali Yuga, is the last age, most degraded age it is. People will become so degraded. Animals. Logically we can understand, right? We are
just
eating, sleeping, mating, running here and there to gather some food. Modern days, I tell this hunter-gatherer
idea is a bogus idea,
but it applies, it is true in one sense that it applies to modern civilization. Modern man is hunting for money and gathering food and eating, right? What is he doing, modern man is? He's just like those aborigines in the jungle, right?
No one is interested to grow their food,
cook their food. Cooking is also very important culture, no? Right?
So they want to
gather and eat like animals, you know, on the road, anywhere, just gather some food and hawks. They roam here and there and
eat something,
collect and eat something.
So this is animal civilization.
This is not progress. Work like this. And Kaveri, Tamil Nadu and Kannada fellows are fighting like cats and dogs. Fighting for water is a human society it is.
So
this industrialization is not actually compared. This all rivers are first ruined.
All these drainages are flowing like rivers, flush water in the toilets, and then there will be no water, drinking water. Now governments are, you know, advertising,
you see, Clean India, Swachh Bharat Abhiyan, everywhere there should be toilets.
In
the end, what will happen? There will be no water to flush toilets. Use paper.
Okay. This is
development. This is progress. Right or not? Use paper, no? Right or not? That has already happened in the West and they want to bring it to India. This is nonsense. So technology, Prabhupada called it as Ugra Karma. It is. It will not make us comfortable. It will make us very miserable. It is demonic it is. Ugra Karma word comes in the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Demons, they do Ugra Karma and always engage in unbeneficial activities, and they destroy, they engage in works which are meant to destroy the world actually. So technology is like that, just destroy,
destroy mind, destroy consciousness, destroy body, destroy all natural resources, rivers. India was such a nice, beautiful country. Everywhere paddy, green paddy fields, beautiful rivers flowing, so many cows everywhere, grazing in the fields. Now you see what hell they made. So in Kali Yuga, basically, nate vidu swarthagatim hi Vishnu durashaya ye bahirarthamanina.
Actually, this last statement of the previous paragraph and this first few lines are just translation of this verse.
So Prahlad Maharaj, he said that
people do not know that their real self-interest is Lord Vishnu
because they give more importance to the external bodily causes to make this body comfortable.
To enjoy material and sense gratification. Bahi means external body. Bahirartha manina. Manina means considering.
So, external cause is great, most important.
Durashaya, out of false hope. It is a false hope because it is not going to become, it is not going to make us happy. Technological advancement to make this body comfortable. And they have no knowledge that material or external nature is very strong.
Tepi sutantra urudam nibaddha. Laws of andayatam urashaye bhairarthamani andayatam deru upajiyamanas tepi sutantra urudam nibaddha.
They are blind. They are led by another blind people. And in this way, what happens? So, they become bound by very strong laws of material nature. Material nature is very strong. Urudam, uru means strong, very intense material nature. The more you try to exploit material nature will take revenge. Now you see, there is no drinking water and day by day heat. So many earthquakes and all these things are happening. So, a living entity is happily the part and parcel of the Lord, and thus his natural function is to render immediate service to the Lord. So, these are all teachings of Bhagavad Gita. By the spell of, so till now he spoke about what is the condition of the living entities in Kali Yuga.
So you see, again in Sambandha Jnana, it can be many different points can be there, right or not? So Sambandha Jnana means position of the Lord, position of the living entities, that we are eternal servants, and how living entities are bound in illusion. This is the point here. So that is also Sambandha Jnana, understanding. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna describes this very elaborately, three modes of material nature. How consciousness is polluted, we are all under influence of different gunas, sattva, raja, tama, we are bound by time, we are bound by karma, karma bandhana. So these things are described. So this is position of the living entities in the material world, especially in this Kali Yuga. So position of the living entity, sambandha jnana it is. And then a living entity is happily part and parcel, and thus his natural function is to render immediate service to the Lord. This is abhideya, right? Bhakti, rendering devotional service. By the spell of illusion, one tries to be happy by serving his personal sense gratification in different forms, which will never make him happy. So, we can never be happy in sense gratification. We should give up sense gratification. We should not be attached to sense gratification. So, even when we come to Krishna consciousness, we would be attached in many ways. Many times we may not even understand also. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu warns us in his teachings to Rupa Goswami, along with the creeper of bhakti, then unwanted other weeds also, they grow. We may not be able to understand, right? When that plant sprouts, sapling comes out. Sometimes the weed, unwanted plant and the sapling, so there may not be any difference, we may not understand. We may not understand what is bhakti, whether I am doing service to Krishna or doing sense gratification.
So we have to be very careful about that. Therefore, we need philosophical intelligence to understand. Therefore, we have to hear Bhagavad Gita, read Bhagavad Gita, like that, to understand all these things. So we should not be attached to sense gratification. Instead of satisfying his own personal material senses, he has to satisfy the senses of Krishna. So we are meant to satisfy the service of Krishna. So when I read Bhagavad Gita first time, some 17-18 years back, so this point, it gives clear idea what is our goal of life, right? What we are supposed to do in life, because we were all in university education, we were all just confused actually. What's going on? We could not relate to our life and what's going on in this world actually. So completely in ignorance. So very clearly Prabhupada presents, we are meant to serve Krishna, that's all. Absolute statements. So this was very impressive to me, you know. This point especially, we are meant to satisfy, because everyone in this world, you see, just they want to satisfy their senses. Right or not? So we are not meant for satisfying our senses, we are meant for satisfying the senses of Krishna. So this is bhakti, right? That is the highest perfection of life. The Lord wants it and he demands it, he says. Krishna demands it. If you want to become free from karma bandhana, if you want to become free from sinful reactions, then you have to surrender to me, he says. He demands it. Sarva dharmam paritejya mamekam sharanam vraja aham tam sarva papebhyo moksha ishami. So moksha you will attain only when you surrender to me, mamekam, he says. So he is demanding. One has to understand this central point of Bhagavad Gita. This is central point of Bhagavad Gita. This is central theme of Bhagavad Gita. We are eternal servants of Krishna. We have to engage in devotional service. And then we will attain perfection of life, love of God. And this is central theme of Bhagavad Gita. So this is main essential teachings of Bhagavad Gita. So this is first point in this purport. Teachings of Bhagavad Gita, essential points of teachings of Bhagavad Gita, central point of Bhagavad Gita. You can write down central point of Bhagavad Gita, very nice title. Then next point, our Krishna consciousness movement is teaching the whole world this central point. And because we are not polluting the theme of Bhagavad Gita as it is, anyone seriously interested in deriving benefit by studying the Bhagavad Gita must take help from Krishna consciousness movement for practical practical benefit. What is that?
Understanding
of Bhagavad Gita. Okay. So before that we see here, what is that statement? So before anyone seriously interested in deriving the benefit of studying Bhagavad Gita must take help from, before that what it is said? Our Krishna consciousness movement is teaching the whole world this central point. And because we are not polluting the Bhagavad Gita as it is. So that point, our Krishna consciousness to teaching the whole world this central point. This is second point. Again, this is mood and mission statement. Why Krishna consciousness movement is important in this world? So it is teaching the central point of Bhagavad Gita, it is importance. Again, so Prabhupada, this is what is the teaching and function of Krishna consciousness movement, that also comes here. So the main teaching of Bhagavad, if someone asks you, what you are all preaching, what is your message? So yeah, bhakti, you know, we are all eternal servants of Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Lord. We are all eternal servants of Krishna. We have to engage, instead of engaging in sense gratification, we should engage in Krishna's service. In this way, we will attain perfection of love, life, love of God. This is we have to tell. This is that central teaching. This central teaching is distributed by Krishna consciousness movement. So it is importance of Krishna consciousness movement because it is giving the central message point of Bhagavad Gita. And what are the teachings of this movement and what is its functions, what it is doing in the society. Right on. So these points, right on. Yeah. We have to tell that. When people ask what is our message, sometime Prabhupada, if you see, Prabhupada interviews are there, videos are there. Sometime they ask, please tell in few words, what are your teachings like that? Then Prabhupada will tell this. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we are eternal servants of Krishna. And we have to engage us in the service of Krishna, then we will get the perfection of life. So, this is what is Bhagavad Gita message like that. So, Prabhupada says like that. Sometime you may be interviewed, right or not? Right, you have to intelligently present all these things. Yeah. If they have any doubts and challenges for that, we can tell. You can come and we'll discuss ours together. Based on Bhagavad Gita. If you have any difficulty with what we are telling, come, we'll discuss like that. That's how Madhvacharya preached. Dvaita, he said, his hands, two fingers are open. So if you have any problem with it, anyone has problem with Dvaita, come, we will discuss. He will take them into the room and beat him shastrically left or right and send him out. All the great acharyas were very aggressive preachers. Everyone, even Shankara was very aggressive preacher. He just lived 32 years and he just conquered the whole country yet with Mayavad. Right person to preach wrong philosophy. Buddha was aggressive preacher. Everyone preached aggressively. Nowadays our movement, we want to become very, like, what is that? So, want to be nice to everyone and all. Christians, Muslims, they don't have any philosophy. They so fanatically preach, Jesus is the only way, like that. Fanatically they preach, Jesus is coming. So if you don't, if you don't become Christian, you will eternally burn in hell. All these kind of things. We have such nice philosophy, we don't want to present Krishna as Supreme Personality of God. God. Sometimes they don't want to take name of Krishna. God. Like Christians, they only say God. They don't know who is God, how he looks like that. But Prabhupada would say, you come and ask us, who is God? We will tell his name, his father's name, his address, everything we will tell. His father's name is Nanda Maharaj. He lives in Goloka Vrindavan. What is he doing? Everything we will tell, all details, Vedic scriptures. This is very developed theology. Prabhupada tells it in a very simple way. This is very simple, essential teachings, but in Bhagavad Gita it is detailed. One time I gave one seminar, Krishna the Supreme Absolute Truth. Why he is so? We went on making points, from Bhagavad Gita. So we conclude, we stopped at 28 points, like that. So throughout the Vedas he is glorified as Supreme Lord, right? Vedasya sarve rahameva vedyo. And he is supreme authority on knowledge, because ultimate perfect knowledge comes from God himself. Like yesterday I told, among Mahajanas knowledge also comes from Krishna. He is the highest authority. Yesterday we quoted which verse? 6th chapter? 39th verse, right? Arjuna says, apart from you, no one else can solve this. He is supreme authority on knowledge. And in introduction to Krishna book, Prabhupada writes, he confirms to all the descriptions of Supreme Personality of Godhead. He exactly confirms to all the descriptions. God is this, God is this, like that. There are many descriptions. But you can see that qualities in Krishna. he exactly conforms to all the descriptions of Supreme Absolute Truth. Like that. Anyway, like that, there are so many things. Then, coming back to the point that so, central point. Then Prabhupada gives his message to the world. Because we are not polluting the theme of Bhagavad Gita as it is, anyone seriously interested in deriving benefit by studying the Bhagavad Gita must take help from Krishna Consciousness Movement for practical understanding of Bhagavad Gita under the direction, under the direct guidance of the Lord. So, Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada's message to those who want to study Bhagavad Gita, they should take help from Krishna Consciousness Movement. Right? So, this is third point. Srila Prabhupada's message to students of Bhagavad Gita, those who are interested to know Bhagavad Gita, learn Bhagavad Gita, study. All of you are, this is message, Srila Prabhupada's message to all of you. You want to study Bhagavad Gita. So, what you should do? You should take help of Krishna Consciousness Movement. There are many devotees who are very learned. So, you should take help from them. You have to learn from spiritual master, teachings of the Shastra. There are many preachers. So, this is under the direction of the Lord. Here, Prabhupada writes under the direction of the Lord. For Arjuna, Krishna was personally present. But we don't have Krishna present in front of us. Right? This question may come, no? So, but parampara is there. Unbroken chain of disciplic succession. So, in parampara we can learn. Parampara is non-different from Krishna. If you learn from parampara, it is directly learning from Krishna. So then, so this is third point, right? Srila Prabhupada's appeal to students of Bhagavad Gita, those who want to know Bhagavad Gita, that he is appealing to take help from Krishna Consciousness Movement because we are not polluting the central theme of Bhagavad Gita. So, then we hope therefore the people will derive greatest benefit by studying Bhagavad Gita as it is, as we have presented it here. And if even one man becomes a pure devotee of the Lord, we shall consider our attempt a success. So, Prabhupada's expectation here. Fourth point, what Prabhupada expected? He hoped that people will derive benefit by studying Bhagavad Gita as it is. That was his expectation. Any author, of course, genuine, you know, Shastrakara or Vaishnava author, he expects that people should get benefit by reading the book. And this is one thing. This is in one statement, there are two points. So, last point, fifth point is, what is the success of presenting this Bhagavad Gita as it is? Even if one person becomes pure devotee, takes to pure devotional service, that is the success of Bhagavad Gita as it is. Oh, after writing so much, Prabhupada every day he would get up early in the morning at 1 o'clock, 12:30, 1 o'clock. So, without sleeping, he wrote this Bhagavad Gita and other literature. In the end, he expects that only one person should become pure devotee. So, so much distribution. This Bhagavad Gita is translated into more than 100 languages. Millions of copies are distributed. So many people are reading this Bhagavad Gita. In the end, he expects that only one person should, even if he becomes one person pure devotee, then that is a success, great success. Obviously, Prabhupada wants that everyone should become pure devotees. But this, we understand how rare is to become pure devotee it is. How rare it is. How rare that people will get benefit of Bhagavad Gita actually. So, once my spiritual master, His Holiness Bhakti Vikas Maharaj, he told me some 10-12 years back, he was emphasizing on this, you should teach these books like that to devotees. Even for brahmacharis also. being in brahmacharya ashram also, many times they don't derive the benefit of, you know, this literature actually. In brahmacharya ashram also, what to speak of congregation? Congregation anyway fallen. If you want to become a non-devotee, become a congregation devotee. Sorry, you are all nice devotees. So, means we don't have environment basically. It's not that you all have desire and interest, that's why you are all sitting hours together in front of boring person like me. So you all have very sincere desire to understand this philosophy. But the whole system doesn't support that actually. And in ashram also, what, we are always busy bringing new people in, always, you know, bringing in, preaching, new people. So this is very active movement it is, preaching movement. Always active. So, today morning our veni. So, where you are going? I am going to cook in a very... It's okay, you will get benefit. You will get opportunity. Krishna will give opportunity. Those who have desire, desire is the beginning of everything. Those who have desire, they will get Krishna's mercy. So we may not get time. Therefore, it is very difficult. And pure devotee is rare. In the Shastra it is told, Muktana Mumpi Siddhana. So Vasudeva Parayana Sudurlabho Prashantatma Kotishvapi Mahamuni. Shukdev Goswami told to Parikshit Maharaj in 6th canto of Bhagavatam, 1st chapter. Muktana Mumpi Siddhana, among many millions of liberated souls and perfected beings. Koti means millions, right? So, a devotee, a pure devotee is very rare. Koti Shvapi Mahamuni. So, very rare. Who is Vasudeva Parayana? He is fully Krishna conscious, absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Sudurlabho Prashantatma. Who is Prashantatma? Prashantatma means completely peaceful. Completely peaceful means he doesn't have. When we will become peaceful? When we do not have material hankerings and desires. Material hankerings and desires makes us anxious to attain, you know, lot of wealth, chase behind all material things. So we become filled with anxiety. And they make us, our mind, ashanta. Ashanta means not peaceful. You cannot remain peaceful if you have material desires, anxieties. Trashna it is called, no? Hankerings. So trashna, hankering for sense gratification. That trashna is burning within our heart, right? So as long as that is there, we will remain ashanta. Ashantasya kutas sukam, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, 2nd chapter. If one is not peaceful, how he can be happy? So happiness is not in any material things. It is a state of mind. It is when we purify our consciousness, we become peaceful. When we become peaceful, then we become very, very happy. So in this way, so pure. And another thing is, even among those who are spiritualists. Or even when we come to bhakti, we may mix with all different kinds of things, you know. There are lots of misconceptions, mixed ideas of bhakti. So in the Shastra, karma mishra, jnana mishra. If we stress varnashrama also more than bhakti, that is also karma mishra bhakti. Although varnashrama gives a very good environment for practicing bhakti. And that is a message of Bhagavad Gita, right? So, but bhakti should be in the center. Main thing is bhakti. Then jnana mishra, karma and yoga mishra. In modern days, there is no karma mishra, jnana mishra, and Yoga Mishra. Then what is there? We are all pure devotees. We have invented some new Mishra Bhaktis now in modern modern society. Like I said, modern Hindus, they want to be Hindus also, but they want to be modern also. So mixture of modernization, all kinds of modern ideas. So modernization, and what is that? So modern society means it's Asuri society. Mixture of Asuri bhavas, mixture of Asuri bhavas. Dambo, darpo, vimanascha, krodha, parushyamevacha, all these kind of things. Then, like that, So these are all Vikarma Yoga, a new theology of ISKCON. I gave a lecture on that. So we mix Vikarma Yoga. There is no yoga. Only four yogas are there, Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga and Bhakti Yoga. What is this new yoga, Vikarma Yoga? So our karma is Vikarma it is. Right or not? It is not according to Shastra. So then we connect it to Krishna. Yoga, we are trying to do that actually. So it's a new theology it is. I give a lecture on that. Or Vikarma Mishra Bhakti it is called as. So Shuddha Bhakti, like that we should. Nowadays in ISKCON this is other day, so last time I think I came here also. I told celebrating birthday has become part of ISKCON now. Birthday means it puts us into bodily conception of life. I am this body, I was born in particular date. What is the first teaching of Bhagavad Gita? We are not these bodies, no? It is a fund collection tool, it is. So we are mixing all these kind of things actually. Especially birthday celebration is a modern, completely modern idea. Just to sell their gifts and greeting cards. So they promote so many such things, New Year celebration, all this, so much bogus. Recently this New Year celebration in Bangalore. Valentine's Day. Friends Day and all. And waste time in WhatsApp wishing each other. Completely nonsense these things are. Nonsense. Complete nonsense. It's a symptom of ignorance. I told ignorance means below Atma Vidya is everything is ignorance. So these are all symptoms of ignorance. We should act on the platform of knowledge actually. So we should stop all these things. Whether you like or don't like Bhagavad Gita philosophy, I am telling you. If you don't stop also, I am not going to shoot you. Bring on your AK partition. But I am telling Bhagavad Gita philosophy. Right? Based on Bhagavad Gita, we are understanding all these things. So if you want to become pure devotees, we have to follow all these things. So our great acharyas, why it is like that? Because it is to become pure devotee is not so easy it is. So it's not so easy as we think actually. So sometime we make Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so merciful that we automatically by his mercy we have become pure devotees like that. Right? So that is symptom of laziness it is. Lord is merciful, there is no doubt in that. But we don't want to commit ourselves, we don't want to surrender to Krishna, but Lord should give us mercy. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is description of mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He says, if you want to use your logic and intelligence, try to use that logic to understand the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanyera Krapa Karaha Vichar, he says. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. Apply your logic to understand that. Like that. He says. But our devotees, they they understand the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in a wrong way. So they use his mercy to not to surrender to Krishna actually. So in this way, this point has to be very nicely understood. Why Prabhupada writes like that? To become devotee. Often Prabhupada used to, another point to understand is that, that verse is there, no? Chanakya's verse. One moon is better than so many stars. This is our, you know, mood of our acharyas. Their acharyas. One pure devotee is enough. So not, no need of so many. We want to deliver every conditioned soul, every jiva. But popularity, here what we want to say is popularity is not our goal of preaching actually. So popularity, we want to give message as it is. So just for the sake of popularity, we should not compromise, we should not adulterate this message of Krishna consciousness. Now the mood is to make one devotee, one senior devotee, he wrote in his Vyas Puja offering to Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, before I leave my body, I want to see your movement again thronging in the in Europe and America like that. So very good intention, right? We all should have that Krishna consciousness movement should spread as widely as possible. Right? So, but essence we should not forget. We should not forget the essence. Central theme of Bhagavad Gita should not be adulterated. We should keep the message as it is. That we should not change. So nowadays, it's a mood is to make ISKCON popular, but no serious commitment and practice is not there. Understanding what we want to preach, what message we want to give. So therefore, the purpose of studying Bhagavad Gita is to know this. So we want to preach Krishna's message as it is. So we should not mix all these varieties of mixtures, right or not? So many new things they invent. So Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. So we will stop here, I think. Any questions, comments? One or two questions and comments? Okay. Preface we all understood? Not understood? Sometimes different names are used for Ashtanga Yoga, Dhyana Yoga, like that. Hatha Yoga is also for Ashtanga Yoga only.